This podcast was recorded on the lands of the Boon Wurrung people of the Kulin Nation, the land on which we're lucky enough to raise our sons and daughters. Always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
This episode of Witching Hour is brought to you by Elan House of Wellness, the mother-led brand that's dedicated to nurturing, nourishing and empowering new mothers and families. I've eaten my way through so many of their incredibly nourishing dry food packs, like the dark chocolate banana bread, golden kitchery, and blooming bites. And you're in luck, because some of my favourite products are currently 20% off. In my opinion, a better nourished postpartum leads to a better return to paid work and a happier parent all around. So support and nourish yourself today with Elan House of Wellness. Hello and welcome to Witching Hour, the show that looks at what's exciting, delighting, intriguing and frustrating us when it comes to making work work. I'm Lou. Posey's here. We're in person.
We are. And I'm Loz. Could be a little bit of squawking in the background, but that's all right. That's what it's all about. Kicking things off with a good news story. Cyan and Collis Taid achieved a $375.2 million exit, proving that you can build a massive business and a life. One of Australia's greatest tech stories again features a female co-founder despite the overwhelming amount of investment going to all male founding teams. It's the story of Envato.
Oh, my friend, I think. Did you work there or did you know someone that worked there or something?
I did know a couple of people that worked there and yeah. I always wanted to work there. Like, it looked so cool.
I reckon you put my friend forward for a job there and it was too late or something, so she couldn't actually end up applying, but that rings a bell.
It looks like the most amazing company.
Yeah.
I'm sure it still is. So it's a story of Envato, founded by husband and wife team Cyan and Collis Taid with their friend Jun Rung. They created a marketplace for creative workers selling things like WordPress themes, stock photos, fonts and graphic design templates. Cyan actually started her own freelance business in graphic design shortly after graduating from uni, and the key to their story and success has been the determination to have a life outside of business. I love this. They went traveling shortly after launching Envato with the idea of starting a tech-based business so that they could work from anywhere that had Wi-Fi. Seems like so normal now, but obviously back in the day it was not. Envato has never taken on external funding, which is huge. That's enormous. Wow. So they bootstrapped the entire thing. And they are one of the country's most successful bootstrapped private companies.
That's incredible.
How good is that? She was a CEO for a long time there too. So yeah. I just thought that's a great new story.
It's so funny. My brother is currently in Byron Bay and he's very...
Byron Bay.
He's up there probably wearing white linen as we speak. No, he's probably not. But he is staying at a client of where he works, houses for free. And I thought, I would just love to go up there for a month. I was dreaming. This isn't going to happen. Yeah, I don't even know this person.
Yeah.
But I was like, could he just hook me up to this free apartment in Byron and I'll just go up and work there for a month?
I know. It would be pretty nice.
And then I realised I wouldn't have childcare or my partner
would
be the
extra shit that you need.
You know. But
wouldn't be that relaxing after all.
This looks good.
I know.
And good on them. Made some money. Just a little
made
bit of cash.
Made some money.
A little bit of cash.
Oh, Nelly.
I make more in a week. But let's get into it because I am nervous about Posey. We are on borrowed time here. Today, we dive back into the Women at Work 2024 Deloitte study. So Loz and Chrissy got into that last week. Let's go into the second part. Wake windows. What does the research say on how long your baby should stay awake and our thoughts around this? And your answers to our questions about telling your boss when you're pregnant. Let's take it away.
Women at Work 2024, a global outlook. This report seeks to understand the lived experience of women at work and the ways in which aspects of their lives outside of work can impact these experiences.
Oh, we have a few ideas about
that. Yeah, a few ideas. So we actually spoke about this last week, but it was so big and it's such a great report. I wanted to go through some of the other stats I found really interesting this week. It's the fourth. Oh my God, that was the cutest little laugh I've ever heard. She like looked me in the eye.
She's like, ha ha ha. It's so easy being a little baby girl.
Yes, babe. That's right.
Not at work for me. My work is sucking my mummy's boobies and not taking the bottle.
Sick.
Sorry, I am a freak. Loz just watched Bottle Refusal in real time.
I did. Poor darling.
It's really on the topic. I'm so sorry. Let's get back to this.
So this is the fourth year in a row that they've done this research. It's excellent. It's really meaty. I'll get stuck into some of the other stats I found really interesting. Women still hold the biggest responsibility for household tasks and increasingly care of other older adults. i.e. aging parents. Women with more domestic responsibilities have lower mental well-being and are less able to focus on their careers. Only 35% of women who live with a partner and have the greatest household responsibility for domestic tasks, such as caregiving and cleaning, say that their mental health is good.
Fucking hell.
Amen, sister. I feel that. This impacts women's ability to focus on their careers and their mental health. Just 27% of those with the greatest responsibility at home so that they can disconnect from their personal life and focus on their career, compared with 42% of women who don't hold this responsibility. So most people who are juggling a shitload of domestic tasks, cleaning, unpacking the dishwasher, lunchbox, holidays, childcare, admin, checking their parents'
clothes their kids are in, and then buying new shit and throwing out old shit and packing the bags.
Unsurprisingly, can't give that same level of, not enthusiasm, but focus to their jobs, which in turn has all these other adverse effects.
I like this stat too, because a lot of people have DM'd me, because in a lot of the podcast episodes, the Ready or Not interviews, we've spoken about how mums can be really efficient with their time. And I do truly believe that. Yes. And I think mums can still give a lot to the workplace. But a lot of people have come to me in my DMs saying, this actually isn't the case for me. I'm finding it nearly overwhelming. Impossible to be good at work because life is so overwhelming. So this is a great stat to show that you're not alone. Even though we talk about how amazing mothers can be, it's not always the case.
And I think what people aren't really seeing about this stat is all the repercussions of it. So I mean, it's all very well and good to be a hero and do everything. I'm all about that.
I'm not.
And there are, I mean, there are situations where, you know, your partner is working in a capacity that means you do have to take on the brunt or the grunt. Brunt, not the grunt.
Grunt. But grunt, it is grunt work.
It is grunt
work. Grunt of the grunt work.
Yes. But what happens with this is that if you can't provide the focus that you would to your work, ultimately you might not get that promotion.
Something's got to give.
Yeah, something's got to give, and it sucks. It freaking sucks.
I actually saw an Instagram post that said, explain parenting via a movie title, and someone wrote, there were really funny ones, but someone wrote, something's got to give, and I was like, fucking amen.
Oh, I actually saw the same one, and the second thing was, what is it, 10 Years a Slave?
Yeah, that's a good one, 12 Years
a Slave. Which was awful, 12 Years, sorry.
I actually nearly wrote that on it, but I was like, it sounds a bit terrible because of what that movie's about.
It does. But I also feel that, I feel the gist of it.
Very true.
I getcha. Yeah. Yes. I feel tied to my household. So this year, more women feel that they need to prioritise their partner's career over their own. This equates to 37% of women who feel this way. It's quite high.
Yeah.
It's actually a slight increase, it says, really from the previous year.
I actually wanted to double check that you meant to say more women. So it,
yes,
people are feeling like, do you know why? I know
cost
why.
Cost of living. Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. I was anticipating it. Yeah, cost of living, course. Men
for a second,
more.
I was confused, and then I remembered there is still a gender pay gap,
yep,
and things are really expensive. So that's, this is where feminism and like progress gets so halted by other factors, doesn't
because
it?
Because at the end of the day, you need to be able to pay your mortgage.
We need money.
Or you need to be able to pay your rent.
Yeah. And it's not even like a lifestyle choice at the moment.
No, it's like it has to be done.
It's actually a privilege for most people to be able to prioritize, which is really unfortunate. I'm not saying it should be like this.
Yeah.
But to prioritize the mum's career in a mum-dad relationship is a lot of the time a privilege.
Yes.
Which is scary.
It is scary.
It's either like you have enough of a household income that it doesn't matter, or that mum's a legend and she does have a high-paying job, which a lot of people would see as privilege because a lot of people don't have that anyway.
Yes. So 39% of people said this exact reason, because their partners earn more.
Yeah.
So they have to prioritise that for the exact reasons that we just spoke about.
Mm.
But 10% of women who are the primary earners in their household still feel that they have to prioritise their partner's career.
That's so interesting. It goes to show how deep gender norms are in terms of history and what we're made to think that is our responsibility. I still find myself lately thanking Hayden for things that he would do without thinking. And I'm like, why do I think, like deep down, I still must think somewhere that this is my responsibility.
Well, how's it's our so conversation before? I'm going away next week. I'm doing a grocery order.
Yeah.
And I apologise because we're going to New South Wales. And I said to Ryan, what do you want in the grocery order? Like, is there anything that you need? And genuinely, this is how his brain functions and thinks. He's like, oh, I just need some cheese and pickled onions and Savoys.
I thought was a great shout, by the way, because that's what my father-in-law slash your uncle likes to put on the snack table.
Yeah, but I just genuinely think to myself, like, do you need body wash? Do you need toothpaste? What about nappies for the kids? Like, no, he just wants to eat his cheese and Bickies at the end of the day. But I actually apologized to him and said, oh, sorry, Dale, they don't have any Savoys. They've only got Jats.
And I was like, can you not apologize for that?
Lizzie's like, why are you apologizing? I'm like, I don't know, honestly.
Yeah.
What is my life to come? Yeah. This stat was probably my favorite because so many times people feel guilty or bad about changing roles or they expect this type of loyalty.
Do you mean in terms of like with, say, your boss treated you really well when you went on mat leave and so we feel like a responsibility to stay there? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Or just in general. I think a lot of women after they have kids are too nervous to move.
And they feel too grateful if they've had a good experience.
Perhaps. Exactly. But as we've seen, a lot more workplaces are offering.
Yeah. And which we'll get to actually in the poll. I was quite pleasantly surprised about some answers.
Awesome. So I said most women only plan to stay with their employer for around 2.5 years. Career advancement, learning and development and work-life balance are key for retention. Nearly a quarter of women who say they expect to stay at their employer for 5 years or more say that learning and development opportunities are one of the reasons, and a similar number say it's because they have opportunities for career advancement.
Yeah.
So essentially, if at that 2.5 year mark, people aren't feeling like they're progressing, they're out.
Yeah.
See you later.
That's always been something you've been really big on, even from like well before you wanted to have kids, weren't you? You never really stay places longer than 3-ish years because you always wanted to.
I stayed a couple, but I do think to myself, even if you're at the same place, you should try and move around.
Yeah.
Key reason, my own beliefs around this is, and I know it's cooked to say it, but if you've been somewhere for a long time in a similar role in a similar team, the likelihood is from a wage perspective, your wage just isn't going to increase in line with where your skills are at.
All about that. That's very me.
Whereas if you jump teams, if you move to a different era, if you move jobs, the ball is in your court.
Yeah.
Particularly internally. Like I think sometimes people say, oh, you know, I can only really get our money if I move elsewhere. If you're internal and you've proven yourself and you know the business and you're good at your job, why, if you move to another team, would you get paid the same or less?
Yeah.
You should be paid more. Like you've proven yourself.
Yes. And you've only got more skills.
Exactly.
By moving into another team to do other things.
Exactly. And, you're only going to get skills are transferable. Unless it's you're coding in the background and you need to learn a new code or.
Unless I was doing like the business's financial forecast for the next year, then don't pay me.
I think
don't
you're fine.
Get me to do it.
So we're seeing that trend. I found this to be interesting because personally, at the stage of life that I'm at in the moment with two small children, flexibility is key for me.
Mm.
So I found it interesting that women are actually starting to prioritize learning and development over flexibility.
Yeah.
Which means that we're wanting to progress. We're wanting to move up.
Yeah.
Women are like, come on, I should be in the next
and
level.
I think something that's becoming a bit more of the zeitgeist now is to focus on flexibility for all parents. Like I think we tried to keep mums in the workforce by giving them flexibility, but until we're flexible with dads and with secondary caregivers, it doesn't actually give mums that much because then it's still always working around your schedule.
Exactly right.
Whereas we want the dads, the secondary caregivers, to be able to take parental leave, for example, without their 60-year-old boss sort of being like, don't expect a pay rise any. Yeah, exactly. You wimpy little man.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you're pandering to your wife's needs, you know. So I think hopefully the reason that they're focusing on learning and development has something to do with that.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Some other interesting things that I'll just end on. Around a third of women, and we've talked about this before, who plan to leave their employer are planning to either change careers completely or start their own business.
Wow. A third.
One third.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Is that specifically related to motherhood or just women in general?
Women in general.
Wow, that's quite amazing. A third of people.
Yep. Well, that's what we were talking about the other day, remember? We were saying in the future, like how hilarious does that sound when I say it? I sound archaic. But going forward 10 years, most people will have multiple jobs.
Yeah.
It's very much a Gen Z thing.
That's so
to
true.
To have multiple jobs, multiple income
we
streams.
We did speak about this and like the fact that there's so many things at our fingertips that once upon a time, someone wouldn't have even known how to start, say, a t-shirt brand.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
They wouldn't have even known where to go. Whereas now I could start one online.
You could.
That's such a good point. And again, I'd love to know how many times we've talked about the cost of living in all of our episodes.
Oh, but again, so much.
That's another reason. Exactly. People are looking for side jobs.
Yeah. Biggest stat, it's my favorite. Nearly every woman, 95% surveyed, believes that requesting or taking advantage of flexible work opportunities at their company will negatively affect their likelihood of promotion.
And that's why dads don't take parental leave.
And 93% don't expect that their workload would be adjusted if they move to a flexible working arrangement. Men, I agree with this. Do you know what really gives me the shits and I'm so passionate about it? When you apply for a role, for example, and you say, would you be open to me doing that role in 4 days? And they say, yeah, no problem. Not a stress, absolutely. But what we'll do is we'll do 0.8 PTE. So we'll pay you at 20% less of your wage. No problem. Like, I'm all about that. If that means 20% of the job that you applied for
is given to someone else,
taken off your plate.
Yes.
Because otherwise, and I'm a huge advocate for it,
yeah,
if your workload is not decreasing and you're doing one less day, the expectation from that employer is that you do the entirety of that work and you cram it into those 4 days. I know that we're really efficient, but they're also saying do the entire suite, but take 20% off.
Yeah. Even like we do go on about mums as some of the most efficient people on the planet. But if you're trying to fit 5 days into a 4 day work week, that again is just adding to the stress of, like, I constantly feel like I'm moving from A to B to C, you know? And then if you're in the workplace just feeling like you're rushed as hell, it's pretty much then becomes your whole life as a parent. You feel rushed as hell.
Indeed, I agree with you, but I think to myself, if you're already doing that work anyway, get compensated for it.
Oh, totally. I agree.
You shouldn't be docked.
But I would, yes, I totally agree with you. But I'm just saying if they didn't remove that workload and expected you to do it in 4 days,
then you should be getting paid 5 days in 4 days.
100%. Otherwise, it's not worth that feeling of rush.
Absolutely. Yeah. Or you should be renegotiating. You shouldn't be like, I'm so thankful my employer let me have 4 days.
I'm so glad they're letting me jam 40 hours of work into a 30-hour
week. That was the full-time role I applied for, but they're so generous that they're going to say, don't worry, you can do 4 days at a 20% pay reduction to do the role that was originally.
We say no-y to that.
Yeah, I say no. I just morally,
say no-y.
I say no-y. Morally, I'm so against it, and I understand how women feel so thankful for it, but I'm like, take a step back because
look at the
person
picture.
Winning is the organization. Yeah. It's not you.
Yeah, they're not legends. I mean, maybe they're slight legends, they're still looking at their bottom
line.
Yeah,
that's just my own personal rant.
Before we get to the next segment, Lozzie, I think we're going to have to commit to doing this in person. It's so much better than on Zoom, isn't it?
I know, it is.
I think I think we're going to have to do it fortnightly, double record.
It is.
And I'm going to have to drive to you every second Monday. It's this is just so much more enjoyable than Zoom.
I agree.
If you agree, let us know because it is more effort. But I'm happy to do it.
It is
nice. So please let us know in our DMs or email us at hello@readyornot.au.
If you're getting more vibe from us.
If you are loving listening to us today. Oh, God, I'm going to hate listening back to this. Anyway, let's move to the next segment.
Okay, I read this one and I want to preface it. I read this one because I'm a freak when it comes to reading, as most of you will now know. Like when someone says something, I'm like, is there data or research to back that up? I thought of this because I know that obviously Posey is at that 4 month mark. And the sleep starts to change and so many people get into wake windows. So this article is titled, New Mums Live and Die by Wake Windows, but there's no proof that they work. If TikTok has stressed you out about your baby's sleep schedule, you aren't alone. This is by Katie McPherson. She goes on to say, the concept of wake windows is deceptively simple, which is why personally I loved it. This is exactly what I did with both of my kids. It is the amount of time your baby should be awake before being laid down for a nap, a time period that gets longer with age, according to sleep consultants' anecdotal evidence. I did some Googling, not me personally, Katie, and quickly discovered that wake windows were all over the place.
Oh, as in the advice on five different articles gave you five different answers.
Yes. And I'm going to get into this from my own personal experience because I think it might be a good one to share for those people that are going through the same thing.
And I think you and I are quite different
when
it comes
different.
To this. So I think this is good.
Yes. Katie says, parents are clearly hungry for the content. Google inquiries about baby wake windows and wake windows by age have skyrocketed in the last 3 to 4 years. A Google Trends report actually shows that searches for baby wake windows started rising towards the end of 2020, COVID, a year which balancing work and childcare became an all-encompassing and deeply overwhelming project. Because obviously your children were at home and you wanted them to fucking sleep.
Yeah.
Like, let's be real.
Of course you want them
to sleep. You're like, you need to sleep
life
more.
Life is much better
because
when
I need to do
sleep.
More stuff and you're at home all the time. Yeah. Totally get that.
And even just booking in meetings. Yeah, you're like, I want to do it at lunchtime because that's when you went to sleep.
Exactly.
Oh, they didn't sleep.
Yeah. By knowing your baby's wake windows, you can, the thinking goes, accomplish two things. Put your baby to bed before they become overtired, which should make it easier for them to fall asleep. And secondly, understanding wake windows could maximize their and effectively your nighttime sleep. This is a huge one for me. By allowing your baby the allotted amount of daytime sleep they need, the thinking goes, you can help them. Pause, darling. It sounds like a vomiting dog. It's like that meme.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry if you can hear Posey. Poor darling has been sick all week. She's smiling now.
She's so cute.
I think she has things to say about wake windows too, which is very interesting. Yeah,
she's like, given excuse me.
I want to chime in and say I woke up tired. Every hour last night. Every hour.
It says, the thinking goes, you can help them get the bulk of their sleep at nighttime. This, of course, is every new parent's fantasy. I mean, and every, I'm 18 months in, it's still my fantasy, to be quite honest. If it's causing more anxiety for parents to follow specific recommendations, then it's best to take a step back and listen to the baby. Most infants know their needs, but parents must be taught to identify them and respond to them accordingly. So what the research is actually showing is that, I'm not going to say wake windows are bogus, but
they're a guide only.
They're a guide.
They're not to live and die by.
No. And this article actually went into what's happening to parents is that it's creating this postnatal anxiety.
100%.
Because they're becoming so fixated on getting their babies to sleep by these guides that it's actually causing more detriment, because we all know that an unhappy mom leads to a plethora of other concerns in the household. 100%.
And it is terrible when your baby can't sleep. I remember Ray going through those regressions, and I do hate that word regression, but it was at those 4 and 8 months. And he just wouldn't sleep during the day.
Yeah.
And it drives you insane. Absolutely insane. You don't get a second to yourself. You're trying so hard to be calming and create this beautiful environment for them, and then they don't sleep and you just think, I actually might lose it. And I was up with you all night.
Yeah. So on wake windows, I went to Masada with Zave because he was a disaster sleeper. During the day, actually, it was quite frustrating. Everyone's like, you're so chill. Like, he's such a good baby. And he was.
How annoying is it?
It was so freaking annoying.
Your baby
annoying.
Behaves well in front of other people.
All the time.
And you're like, I swear you're acting like this is easy for me and it's not.
Like, he was so happy and people were so excited to see him. But then at night, he was up 25 times. I actually put him in the snoo to record how many times he woke up, just to tell people.
Wow.
It was like 25. Like, it was cooked.
Is this someone else's snoo?
Yeah, I borrowed it.
Classic.
Yeah.
Hey, I've got some research to do.
I did. I was like, look at this. Look at this. Look how much he's
25 times.
All the time. So I went to Masada, and I think one of the common misconceptions, and I had the same misconception, and it frustrated me to a degree because of this wake window thing, is that they give you literally windows. So by age they say, oh, you know, 4 months, maybe
every, you know, to go back, I think they're awake for about 2 hours ish every 4 months,
maybe 90 minutes to 2 hours. And I'm like, okay, but so which one is it?
Actually it's 90 minutes to 120, I think, at the moment, because I did Google it the other day and I was like, that's
but which
hour.
One is it?
That's an hour difference.
I'm like, is it
so
do I put 90 minutes or is it not
120?
And they say, oh, but you know, if you miss it, you miss it, then
they're never going to sleep again.
They might. They'll sleep.
Sorry, they're awake forever now. You miss the window.
And it's so hard to say, look at the cues, like yawning, scratching their eyes. Mate, kids cannot control their hands at 4 months.
Yeah.
They're fucking touching their face every 4 minutes. Yeah. Like, I'm like, is he tired? Is he yawning? His mouth opened. What's he doing? Like, I don't know.
And how am I meant to know how to read a baby?
That's I actually think that's the hardest thing.
Mm.
But what this article is saying is, innately, as a mum, you know your baby.
Yeah.
Spend some time with it.
Yeah.
With the girl, boy,
whatever.
Oh, you
do get forced to spend some time with
them. Spend some time. Do the carrier nap. Do the put down. Do whatever naps are going to work for you. Because the final sentence of this article says, do wake windows. Don't do wake windows. You won't remember them in 5 years, whether or not you did them.
Yes. It's interesting that you brought this to me now, because I'm not good with routine, as you know, which is interesting, because in a
work way,
like that sort of structure. And I definitely did when I worked like in a full-time capacity for other people. Like, I would get really annoyed at other people's spreadsheets and be like, I could do this a million times better and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But with my children, I don't like to follow a routine for some reason, except for like when they get older and I'm like, well, Ray sleeps at lunchtime. Obviously, I follow very simple things like that. But the other day, Posey was carrying on in the afternoon and I was like, oh, you've been awake for about 4 hours. let's put you down, Dulcie.
She was like, please, please let me sleep.
Why am I still awake? And she slept for 4 hours. Poor darling.
Yeah, she was tired.
Yeah, so get better acquainted with your baby's cues than I have with Posey, the poor
darling.
Yeah,
but also I think the key thing is anecdotally, and this could be wrong. I mean, I've only read a handful of articles. I'm sure there's expert sleep consultants out there, and there's many. But anecdotally, they say wake windows, there's not research around it, which to me does make sense because it's very difficult to obtain research from babies at that age. What are you going to do? Put them in like a little cot in a hospital
and facility ask them, and monitor them. When do you ideally go to sleep?
Are you feeling tired now, sweetie? Is it? So it does make
sense. I'm exhausted.
But you get so wrapped up in it, so caught up in it, and it can be so detrimental to your health. Like I think with Zave, I was a bit more chilled because it was my second baby. Yes.
And you sort of are a bit more distracted, whereas your first baby, that's your focus. Whereas when you have two, Ray does so many things when, if I have a day with the two of them.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to cave
can't
in.
You almost can't even concentrate on the baby.
You've got to cave in.
The toddler's so busy.
But I do know also firsthand what it's like doing that routine with your first child.
Yeah,
and for me,
pulling your hair out.
I loved it. Mm. But it actually, upon reflection, created quite a strain on my life.
Yes. So because you wanted to make sure you were home at those times.
Exactly
right. I've had friends say that who are really organized people, and I don't think you can do any different. So I don't think it's wrong. You need to move through these things the way you would because that's just your personality type. But that have said with retrospect, it trapped them at home and didn't enable them to go for morning coffee and those sorts of things because they need to be at home by 9 for that sleep.
Yeah.
And you can only learn that with hindsight. And if that's your personality type, we get it.
You can.
But I think the important message here, and I'm so glad you've brought it to us, is that it just
they don't remember.
Might not matter.
You don't remember.
And your health matters. Exactly. And your happiness matters. And if that means routine, absolutely bang on. If it doesn't,
mate,
don't
worry.
Out the window.
And also, if one day doesn't work out for you,
yeah,
don't worry. It won't fuck the rest of your life.
First you don't succeed. First you don't succeed. Pick yourself up and try again. God, I've got a good voice. You should have seen Lost singing last night, by the way, guys. Fucking hell, that girl can sing.
I can. You're right.
If I'm good, she's great.
Yes.
So we've just received a live message from Ryan, Loz's husband, and the boys are at the park with the babies. And they have trapped the two toddlers, Ray and Xavier, in like an enclosure, and they're just playing in there. And it sounds cruel, I know, but it's actually the smartest thing I've ever seen. The caption is, "This is supervision." Let's get to the poll. So, Lozzie, I kept saying yesterday, what's the poll going to be? What's the poll going to be? What's the poll going to be? I guess we haven't laid out the context that you've slept over at my house last night with your whole family. I've put it on Instagram, but we actually didn't mention it in this episode. But we are in person on a Sunday morning because you slept over last night.
Yeah. It was
made
delightful.
Pizzas last night.
Played cards.
Girls won. Yeah. Loz is an absolute shark.
You can tell I'm competitive.
Competitive. I couldn't even remember. And I am competitive. So.
Oh, don't worry. I've got the score on my notes on my phone.
For anyone that plays 500, that Hayden always calls it 600. I'm like, Dal, we've been
playing
this
game. I'd be like, are you serious or are you not? Are we here to play?
Are we still doing this? It's 500. Anyway, the girls won and I kept saying to Lozzie all day, I need to come up with a poll. Remember this morning at 6 a.m. that we hadn't in fact done one. It's now 10:30. So we've only got about 4.5 hours worth of answers, but I cannot believe how much this is going off. So the poll is about telling your boss that you're pregnant. So the first question, Lozzie, were you nervous to tell your boss you were preg? The answers were very sort of or not really. What do you think the majority said?
Very.
So sort of won, but only just. You'd almost call them even. 42% for sort of, 39% for very, and 19% for not really, which I must admit was a little bit higher than I thought it would be. So I'm happy. I know it's still low. I'm setting the bar very low there.
Yeah.
But about 20% of people were like, I'm just pregnant. Who the fuck cares? Which I think is the mentality we should all be taking.
Agreed.
Next up, how did you tell them? This one's not that interesting, as in guessing. Do you want to guess or should I just tell you the stats?
No, just tell me.
Yeah, this one that's not like, oh, how are people telling their bosses they're pregnant? So 70% do it in person.
Yeah.
16% via Zoom or online meeting, which would have been a COVID thing mostly, I reckon.
Yeah.
And since then, 9% did it in phone call and 4% did it in email. So I guess from that we can gather that most people think that the right thing to do is in person.
Yeah.
I think online's fine as well because it is that in-person thing.
Yeah.
But I think for the majority of us, we're saying that's probably how you should deliver it.
Yep.
Next up, did you prepare some big speech or plan or did you just tell them? Options were no, just told them I was pregnant, or yep, had a whole plan worked out. What percentages are we throwing at those?
No, just told them I was pregnant.
Yeah, so well, 66%
I didn't tell
of people,
you the percent. Oh, I was going to say 66.
You were, weren't you? I knew you were.
It was coming up my tongue.
I did hear that S actually. Yeah, so 66% of people said no, just told them, which I'm really happy about.
Yes.
My boss knew that I was trying, so I didn't end up sort of having some big announcement. But had she not known, I 100% would have gone in over apologizing. But because she was already so supportive of me trying, never got there. But I'm really proud of people that 2/3 of people are like, nah, just told them.
Yeah.
Like, what else am I meant to do? Because we shouldn't go in over apologizing.
No.
34% went in with a whole plan, which I do respect going in with a bit of a plan of like, this is how I can see my mat leave looking. I think that's fine.
I agree.
But the over apologizing piece, we want to drop that. Yes. So I'm happy to see a lot of people just going and telling them. How did your boss react? Act. Not well, fine, or really well. Give me your percentages. I will not interrupt.
Fine. And what's sorry, was that the option?
So it's really well, fine, or not well?
Fine.
Like, what percentage?
61%.
So really well, 56% is the highest. Great. That's so good.
Must be female bosses.
Yeah. Well,
actually,
we'll
no, I shouldn't say that because no. Male bosses, they'd be like, oh, good on you. Great. And then they'd be like, Susan from HR, we've got to get a replacement.
Well, that's good to your
what
face.
What are we doing with this?
Oh, she's never going to come back. Go and have your kids. So 39% fine, 56% really well, only 4% said not well.
Oh,
and there's always
sad.
Going to be those. Something. So I am happy about those numbers. I'm happy that only 4% of people said that. Zero would be the ideal, but
yes.
There's always going to be fuckwits in the world, aren't there? Did they treat you differently after? Yes, no, or sort of?
What's sort the... of.
So no is 59%, and that's the highest answer. That's pretty good.
It's amazing.
Sort of 20. I mean, we do want to see it higher. I know we're saying it's amazing as though, like, not everyone should be treated well, but we just know that workplaces aren't always great like that.
I think it's amazing. Different when you come back. I would say, like, when you tell them you're pregnant, you get treated the same.
Yeah.
But then I think it's more when you get back.
Damn, I didn't ask them about that. No. I'll have to do that another time. So sort of 23%. I think I already said no was 59%. And yes was 18%, but that wasn't always negative. So I will get to that.
Yeah.
So I said, if you did get treated differently, tell me how.
Okay.
So here were the answers. I'll just quickly reel them off.
Read the top five.
No, Loz, don't make me. I'll be really quick. One person said yes, but in a positive way where they checked in with me to see that I was feeling well and doing
well. Okay, that's nice.
Which is great because hyperemesis is a thing. And people should, I mean, we don't want to be treated like delicate flowers, but we still deserve to be treated as though we're doing something humongous because we are.
Yes.
They helped manage my stress levels and ensured I wasn't taking on too much. I was made redundant at 6.5 months pregnant as a solo mum. I'm going to ask this person if they'd be comfortable actually being a guest on Ready or Not, because that is a story that we have not yet told. I work in crisis response. We're really nice in making changes to the role for me to feel safe. Was promoted while pregnant. They just managed my mat leave. So was a colleague. Wasn't rare within the org. Want to say lucky, but if you're the best fit for the role, they should make it work for you, which
absolutely.
Is so true. Wish it was more common. There was a push for more females in senior management, which certainly helped. Love to hear it. Good for you. Yes, in that he would reinforce to prioritize my health if needed. He was awesome. Love that. And that was a man. Second pregnancy was with twins, and the first question I received was if I was even going to come back to work. Fuck, people are annoying. You couldn't possibly come back after your twins.
Oh.
Someone said work trip to Melbourne, went to event and left early. Boss had a go at me for leaving early, so I was cornered to have to tell him. I was literally 4 weeks pregnant, but he treated me so awfully, I felt like I had no choice. That's a terrible feeling. I'm sorry for that person. Last one here. Yes, in a positive way, checking in that I was feeling okay, etc. So I'm glad to hear they weren't all negative. Hate the redundancy story. Hate feeling forced to tell your boss. Really like the positive stories. Let's see more of that.
Agreed.
Do you think they penalized you in terms of the types of opportunities and projects you were given? First option is 100%, section. Second is sort of, and third is not really.
Not really, I would say.
Well done.
I think legally they can't, and so people are very cautious of doing that.
Yeah, even if they do sort of fuck you over in small ways,
it's not like they've got to be very, very careful.
Yeah. Oh, Poshy. We'll throw you on the boob. One sec. So for percentages, not really was 63%, sort of was 22%, and 100% was 15%. I'd like to see that drop a little bit more, but again, I'm glad that for the majority of people, things were looking pretty good. Next question. What is the best thing your boss or you've heard of bosses doing to support a pregnant person?
Pay more maternity leave.
Oh, I wish that was the answer.
Pay more paid parental leave.
So here's a few answers for you. I'm going to pick six. I got promoted 2 months before going on mat leave. I was shook. That's so good. Love to hear it. Just before I went on mat leave, I received a promotion and pay rise. Another Yay. One. Continuing to get promoted and new roles, which isn't something we should celebrate, but unfortunately it feels like, you know, enough of a rarity where we do.
Yep.
Work from home when needed, another person said. I think that's huge. Yeah. If you're battling sickness, it enables you to
yep.
bloody vomit and then come yeah. back to your desk, just, which is like a real reality. At least do your work
in the safety of your house.
Yeah. 100%. For me, they rolled me off projects early and allowed me to take on lighter mental duties, which is great if that's sort of what you want. Some people I feel like wouldn't
want
that.
I'm the opposite. Yeah, I feel like I want to be like, you're dead. Yeah, I'd be like, this is mine.
Yeah, this is mine, bitch.
I've got this.
Until the baby is literally crowning this project.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'd be like.
I'm still working on getting pregnant through IVF. My boss has been nothing but supportive. That's Love amazing. That. And good luck for you. I hope that you get your lovely news soon. Next one. What advice would you give to someone telling their boss they're pregnant? What advice would you give first?
Oh, I would just say don't beat around the bush.
Yes.
Say it. Don't apologize. And I would also just say how excited you are.
Yeah, I love that. Over-apologizing is very me, but I wouldn't do it now. But I would have first pregnancy had my boss not been such a legend. So this is pretty much what everyone has said. One person said, look into when you have to tell them by.
Yeah, I did the same.
Which is a really good piece of advice. Yep. You don't owe them an early...
You have to tell them 10 weeks before yes. your due date.
Well, some businesses actually have it in their contract. So this person said that, they had to tell them by 20 weeks.
Okay.
So that's interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's legal.
Just I mean,
like
it's a, not.
Sounds like
no.
one for Fair Work, actually, no. now that I say it out loud.
It's not. Legally, yeah. As per like the government guidelines, you need to provide your place of employment
yeah.
with 10 weeks notice.
Okay. Yeah, that makes
written.
More sense. Okay, so we might be going to Fair Work with that one. Then two people basically said the same thing. Don't over-apologize, be honest. And I love this one from one of my best friends. It's never as bad as you think it is, and don't let them take away from your excitement. And
yeah.
That's basically
but
what
also, how
said.
Awkward is it and how hard is it? When you know, even when someone goes, I went to this amazing restaurant for dinner last night. It was incredible. Like, you're not going to sit there and be like,
sounds,
I thought it was shit.
Sounds terrible.
Sounds fucking awful.
What, you ate fucking pasta? Fucking hate pasta.
Like, if you go in and you're excited, it makes it like you set the tone,
yes.
you know?
Couldn't agree more. So then I, for the last question, which actually wasn't meant to be the last question, but I didn't word it properly in the poll, so I had to put it up again, was /was your boss male or female? I also added the option of non-binary, but no one picked that. So guess the breakdown of male or female.
Female 75%, male.
52-48 to female,
oh my gosh,
to female
wow.
though, which A is sick because there's lots of female managers out there, but two, it's great to know that
people are having such nice conversations. Yeah,
with
I love
males.
It.
Males, like for the most part, I would say, again, I hate that our standard is low, but for the most part, I'd say that's a really positive poll.
Yeah.
And 48% of those leaders are
I
males.
I do think sometimes I don't give enough credit, but I look at like Rye and Hades and like all the men of millennial generation and they're exactly like us. Like yeah. if someone told Rye they were pregnant, he'd be like, great, that's amazing. Kids are so
yeah.
fun.
Yeah, that's true you actually. Know? I wonder... if it's different, if
it's more
they're already
older.
A dad or not, I don't know. I wonder who it would annoy. We'll have to try and find those stories. More
I think
of those
it's
stories.
Old school mentality people that
Maybe.
Are like, you know,
yeah.
you work
But even though,
long hours.
When you tell those sorts of people, they'd probably just be like, family is everything. You're going to be the most dedicated mummy. You know what I mean?
They do. Yeah, maybe.
So it'd be interesting. Right. I want to know who these people are that actually are a bit fucking shit about it.
Who knows?
What do you reckon, Posey? Do you want to say something? You are the smartest young woman I have ever met.
Okay, tips. So on my singing streak from last night, I've said this tip before, but I'm going to say it again. Parent by personality type. There's a lot of stuff going around about gentle parenting. I don't know, like.
By the way, seeing you parent an older child than what I have, you're very, very patient. As in, Sienna's amazing. I don't mean she cracked it.
I don't think I've ever been called patient.
But the way
in my
you
life.
Talk through things with her is really nice to see. And it was really inspiring.
What is? Oh, you're talking about the poo situation.
Yeah.
yeah. She yeah, refused to poo, but I knew yeah. she needed to go.
Yeah, but you talked her through it really well because I understood for her that was stress. Like, she wasn't being annoying. Like, it was stressful for her. You know
it
what I mean?
Annoying.
And you talked it through really well.
Anyway, so parent by personality type. If you've got an extrovert, singing instructions can change everything. I've read this off a blog and it said, I felt like an idiot, but one morning I sang, come with mommy to the car. Let's get in the car. We're getting in the car. And to no tune in particular, actually.
Yeah, I was trying to actually said, follow that tune.
My child laughed, delighted, and got in the car day after day with no more fits. I often do this with Sienna.
Sienna would respond so well to that.
Not eating her dinner, I'll like make this really weird song and be like, veggies are great. Let's eat them today. Like, you know, just stupid stuff. She loves it and she'll eat them. Yeah. I mean, she just won't eat them all, but she'll at least try. Yeah. Whereas if I sit there and talk to her like, come on, Sienna, it's important to eat your vegetables. Yeah. She's like, go away.
She's like, stop patronizing me. Yeah, you're annoying me.
So pick your battles and parent by what your kid's going to respond to. Zave is different to Sienna.
Yeah. My tip is based off something very sad that happened in my personal life, which is why I've gone a bit quiet on socials and podcasts. It's not my story to tell, but it has got me thinking about how much as a group new mums can struggle. And my tip is that if you are struggling, please tell someone. There's people out there that care. There's people out there that love you. Even if you feel lonely, I promise you, there is someone out there that's willing to help. And even if you want to slide into our DMs, we'll have a fucking conversation with you. I would do anything to make sure someone knows how valued they are and that receiving the help that they need is important. And I think that's particularly can be really hard for new mums. So that's my off-the-cuff tip. Lozzie, let's wrap it up.
That's it for today. If you have loved listening to today's episode, please leave us a positive review.
We have received some really nice reviews.
They are
lately.
So nice. They do really make our day and it makes a huge difference to our podcast. And please follow us on readyournot.pod.
See you soon. Mm-hmm.